If you seek me, you will find me. Hold that thought. The story that Shirley shared with us is a great story, is it not? It's a story we all love. It's the kind of story that would be great for Bible school because it's so simple and straightforward, at least on the surface. And so I could get our young people, I started to get you to do this, but we'll just do it in our minds. We could enact this story for kids. It's a wonderful story. Jesus and his disciples are on a boat. So they all get in this boat, and they're going across the lake. And in the middle of the lake, there's a terrible storm. And so there are wind and waves, and the water's crashing over the boat. And the disciples are scared to death, and they're saying, "Oh my, it looks like this is going to be it. We're going to die. We're going to drown." And they look, and there is Jesus. What's he doing? He's asleep. He's asleep in the back of the boat, and they're thinking, "Jesus doesn't care about us. There he is sleeping. How can he be sleeping through this?" And they cry out, "Jesus, save us!" Jesus wakes up, and he calms the storm. "Peace be still. Shalom." And everything is calm. And the disciples go, "Whoa, this is big stuff." And the kids love it. And you love it, and I love it, because all of us have been on the lake when there has been a storm, the storm that we find in life, and we've looked for Jesus, and it seems like he's asleep, but we cry out, and sure enough, he's always there to save us. Great story. But I think there's more. I think there's much more to this story. And if you will join me in being a detective for the next few minutes, maybe we can find a deeper meaning. I've always been fascinated as to the location of this story in the Gospel of Mark. When Shirley read the scripture, it was from the end of the fourth chapter of Mark's Gospel. Now, if you go back to the beginning of the fourth chapter, Jesus begins his teaching ministry. And he begins to teach in parables. And everybody loved it. Jesus was a wonderful storyteller. But they would listen to his stories and they would think, "Well, wonder what he meant by that." And they really weren't sure all that he was saying. And so his disciples get up with Jesus and they say, "Look, great stories, but what exactly are you trying to say?" And Jesus said, "Hold that thought." Now, if you look at what happens on the other side of the story, they cross the Sea of Galilee, and for the very first time in the Gospel of Mark, Jesus goes into Gentile territory. The place that no Jew wanted to go. No self-respecting Jew wanted to be caught with the Gentiles. And it's over there that they meet this crazy man. You know, the guy that's kind of wandering around the cemetery? It's a great Halloween story. He's out there in the cemetery. He's screaming. He's cutting himself. They say late at night you can hear the cries of anguish. That's what happens on the other side. But let's go back to the fourth chapter. So Jesus is asking his disciples, "What's this all about?" And Jesus said, "I'm going to tell you, but don't tell anybody else. There's a secret, and you have the secret, but they don't have it." And they go, "That's good. Whoa, we've got the secret. You see, we're disciples, man. We're the ones who are faithful. We're the ones who are always going to be there. Jesus gave us the secret. He didn't give you the secret." By the way, did he mention what the secret was? But that's okay. We've got the secret, and they don't have the secret. So the disciples knowing that they have this secret, but not really sure what it was, listen to Jesus when he says, "Hey guys, I want us to go to the other side." To the other side. The most amazing thing to me in this whole story are those simple words, "They took Jesus just as he was." They didn't try to change his mind. They didn't try to tell him he was wrong. They didn't try to tell him they shouldn't be going over there. They took him just as he was. And then the next thing they knew, they were in the midst of this storm. They get over on the other side, and there's this demon-possessed guy in the cemetery screaming and cutting himself. And before you know it, Jesus has cast out the demons, and he's commissioned this fellow to go and tell the good news. He becomes a Gentile preacher. And the disciples are still confused over what it's all about. Did the disciples ever try to change Jesus' mind? Of course they did. You remember the story in the 8th chapter of Mark when Jesus takes the disciples on a retreat and he said, "Listen, guys, what are people saying about me?" And then he said, "Who do you say that I am?" And you remember what he said? Simon Peter was the one. And what did he say? "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Hey man, that's it." Simon Peter gets an A+. He not only has the secret, but he's got a star. He's the star pupil. Jesus is the Son of the living God. He is the Messiah. But then Jesus starts to explain to Simon Peter and the others what all of this means. And Simon Peter said, wait just a minute, Jesus. You don't know what you're talking about. You're talking about they're going to arrest you and you're going to be persecuted and you're going to suffer and you're going to die. No, that's not the way it's going to be. What did Jesus say? "Get behind me, Satan." You remember when James and John responded to all the talk about Jesus and his kingdom? I mean, Jesus was talking about, you know, "I'm going to establish this kingdom." James and John came and said, "Now, Jesus, we're going to help you out here. You've never put a kingdom together before. We know all about it. So my brother James and I, we're going to be number one and number two. We're going to be the ones in charge. We're going to make this work." And Jesus looked at them and said, "You guys don't know what you're talking about." Remember when Jesus and his disciples had left Jerusalem because of all the conflict in the Gospel of John, and they go down to the wilderness by the Jordan, and the word comes to Jesus that his friend Lazarus is sick. And Jesus said, "Well, we're going to go and help him." What did the disciples do? They said, "Jesus, you're crazy. You don't know what you're talking about. Because if you go to Jerusalem, you're going to get yourself killed." And Jesus said, "Come on, guys. You're the ones who don't know what you're talking about." And remember Judas? Did Judas feel that Jesus just didn't get it? And so maybe he was trying to force his hand to become the Messiah that all the disciples knew he was supposed to be, but Jesus just hadn't arrived at that conclusion. You know, we're always telling Jesus who he ought to be and what he ought to do. Now, if I ask the question this morning, "Are you willing to take Jesus just as he is?" and we had a show of hands, I bet everybody would raise their hand, if for no other reason you wouldn't want to be the only one who didn't. But if we wanted to take an election this morning, how many of you love Jesus? Everybody would raise their hand. We all love Jesus, don't we? But what Jesus do we love? We want the happy Jesus. We want the help me now Jesus. We want the it's all right Jesus. And we want the easy Jesus. We want the happy Jesus. The one who's going to make us happy, the one who's happy. In fact, it makes us uncomfortable when Jesus is weeping over Jerusalem and over children who are hungry. It makes us uneasy over Jesus who weeps over all of the wars and the oppression and the inhumanity that we find in the world today. We don't want that Jesus. We want the help me now Jesus. Jesus, I'm sick. Help me right now. Jesus, I've got a problem. Help me right now. We don't want the Jesus who's asleep in the back of the boat. We don't want the Jesus who appears to be deaf. We don't want the Jesus to whom we keep praying and praying for healing, but nothing seems to happen. And we want the it's going to be all right, Jesus. You know, the one who's going to say, well, just because you don't want to be totally committed, it's going to be all right. Just because you don't feel like doing this, it's going to be all right. Isn't that the Jesus we want? We want the easy Jesus. We don't want the Jesus who says, take up your cross and follow me. We don't want the Jesus who demands everything. We don't want the Jesus who confronted the rich young ruler and said, go and sell what you have and give it to the poor. No, we want a certain Jesus. And the disciples wanted a certain Jesus, which makes the most remarkable statement, they took Jesus just as he was. And immediately they ran into trouble because they ran into a storm on the Sea of Galilee. Jesus was taking them someplace they did not want to go. He was taking them to do something they did not want to do. He was taking them into an environment in which they had never been before. Because you know what happens on the other side? They get out of the boat on the other side and all of a sudden they're in Gentile territory. The Jews despised the Gentiles. They hated their guts. They didn't believe that they were worthy of God's love and grace. They were infidels. They were heathens. They were sinners. They were unclean. They were not worthy to be called the children of God. And sure enough, here's this crazy man wandering around the cemetery. Sure, they were saying, Jesus, see, we told you. That's what you run into over here. But if you read that fifth chapter, you know what the crazy man does? The crazy man tells them what the secret is. When he said, he came and worshiped and said, Jesus, Son of the Most High, have mercy on me. That was the answer. That was the secret. You see, the secret was the disciples had Jesus and the others didn't have him. But they had never really taken Jesus just as he was. And of course, the man had demons. But I wonder who had the most demons. Was it the man in the cemetery? Or was it the disciples? Was it the disciples who had closed their mind years ago? Was it the disciples who had an unresolved sense of grief? You see, John Claypool said maybe one thing that's going on with this man in the cemetery, maybe it's unresolved grief. Maybe he went there to bury a wife or a mother, and he could never leave. He could never let go of that grief. Well, maybe the disciples had something. Maybe there was a sense of prejudice. Maybe there was bigotry. Maybe there was some issue on which they had closed their mind and they were absolutely convinced that they were right and everyone else was wrong. Maybe we have demons that need to be exorcised. And then, after Jesus cast out the demons, it is this man, this Gentile, who receives the commission to go and tell the good news. So what happens when we take Jesus just as He is? Well, the first thing is simply this. The way is not going to be easy. There will be a storm. There will be trouble. There will be problems along the way. You can count on it. You know, when Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, was it simply because Jesus didn't care about them? Or was it something else? Sleep is a sign of peace. Sleep is when you know that everything's going to be all right. In fact, if you go to the Psalms, you go to the third Psalm, you go to the fourth Psalm, sleep is interpreted with being at peace with God. So even though there was a storm, Jesus believed that everything was going to work out just right. Not the disciples, though. So maybe his sleep was not that he did not care, but it was simply that he had faith in God that they did not have. Some of you were in our study this week on the Lord's Prayer. The writer Frederick Buechner said, "It takes guts to pray the Lord's Prayer at all." Because when we pray the words that we prayed earlier in the service today, what are we saying? We're asking God to be God. We're asking God to do not what He wants, not what we want, but what He wants. We're asking God to make manifest that sense of holiness that seems to be hidden. Buechner said, "To speak those words is to invite the tiger out of the cage, to unleash a power that makes atomic power feel like a warm breeze." Are you willing to take Jesus just as He is? Knowing that there's probably going to be a storm. Knowing that He will ask you to confront the demons in your life. Maybe issues that are unresolved. Maybe things that you have closed your mind and you won't even listen to anyone else because you're convinced that you're right and everyone else is wrong. Many of you know Chet Cantrell. He's the son of Roy Cantrell, who for many years was the pastor of the Abbots Creek Baptist Church here in Davidson County. A number of years ago, Chet went to one of the poorest cities in the United States, East St. Louis, where he started a Christian activity center. If you ask Chet what happened to him, he said, "It wasn't that I found God, but God found me." And when he started in East St. Louis, in one of the poorest places in the nation, he said one of the first days he was there, there was an old field that he wanted to mow, and one of the kids told him not to mow it because that's where they throw the dead bodies. It was a city that was infested with drugs and violence, and parents would not let children out of their homes for fear that they would be killed. But Chet continued. He believed that even though he was in the midst of a storm, that God was faithful. And God continued to be faithful to Chet. And you know what you were singing earlier about if you seek Him, that you will find Him? This is what Chet said. If you're seeking God, come and work with me, and God will find you. If you're searching for God, go out into some of the poorest areas and work with people who need it the most. If you really want to find God, take Jesus just as He is. Let us pray. Dear God, You have taken us just as we are, and I pray that we would take You, not trying to define who You are or what You need to do for us, but that we would be honest and take You just as You are. And I pray that You would speak to us so that we may respond and be Your people and serve You with faithfulness and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.